Again, I got no sympathy from any of you. No sympathy, none. 18 years of my life, nothing. I did what I had to do. I did what each and every one of you would have done. I have an ironclad contract now, and I'm proud of it. How dare you, Cena? How dare you? How dare any of you judge me? How dare you? How dare you? Cena, I will be judging you. Look at me! I will be judging you June 17th. There will be no way out. Because you, my friend, I'm gonna knock out.
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live, and this is SRL on a Monday night.
You know, most people are at home on a Monday night because it's the May long weekend up here in Canada, but not you and I. We're still working our asses off trying to bring the absolute best to the Smack Talk Radio Live audience.
That's right. Nose to the grindstone here in the Smack Talk studios in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia.
The funny thing is, though, is that I don't think you and I are getting paid time and a half today.
We got to talk to somebody about that for sure.
I'm Corey Callahan, sitting alongside James McDonald. This is SRL on a Monday night. To find this show, you got to head on over to www.smacktalkradiolive.com. Also like the page at facebook.com/smacktalkradio. And if you're on Twitter, at SRL Radio. Couldn't have screwed that intro up any worse.
Over the limit yesterday. What'd you think?
Maybe that's why I got screwed up. I'm just so confused about what I saw last night and what I saw about tonight.
Well, you didn't think that was a good show at all?
No, I was not liking Over the Limit last night.
You know
what?
I was liking it all the way up until the main event. I think that whole fracas between John Laurinaitis and John Cena it was an embarrassment to professional wrestling in general.
I couldn't agree with you more.
You know, I thought it was a really good show all the way up until that point. We had some really solid matches at the tag match between Ziggler and Swagger and Kofi and R-Truth. That was a really good match. Excellent performance by all four guys.
The only thing with me that I thought of when I was watching that match was it is time for Dolph Ziggler to get a major, major push.
Oh, yeah, he should be in the main event picture for sure. I mean, we've said that before on this show lots of times. And again, the four corners match for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Fatal four-way.
It was just a fantastic match. I thought, you didn't like that one?
No, I was just bored really? The whole way through. And you know, a lot of people are talking about the Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk match.
Very good match.
I'm not denying it. It was a good match. Very technically sound. You know, little to pick apart in this match. But is it a match of the year candidate? In my opinion, it isn't. And I'm saying that because just the ramifications of this pay-per-view is going to be lost in history for sure. Like, this pay-per-view is a forgettable pay-per-view, and that match, it is not the end of the program with Punk and Bryan.
No, definitely
not. It is the beginning
of
it. Yeah. So for that reason alone, I don't make it a match of the year candidate.
No, I don't think it'll be match of the year. I think we will see a match of the year between these two.
I was just
heading forward.
I was just going to say the best is yet to come with these two.
I totally agree.
So for that reason alone, I'm going against what the public is saying. I don't believe this was a match of the year candidate. That being said, excellent match, but the whole thing is just on a level below because of the rest of the pay-per-view that this match fell on.
Over the Limit was not a good pay-per-view. It was the main event. It would have been. You know what? It would actually have been a surprisingly good show if they hadn't had John Cena and John Laurinaitis as the main event. If they had that match maybe in the middle of the card.
Mm-hmm. Well, last week, last week you basically called it exactly how it went down. Are you disappointed with what you saw at the end of Over the Limit last night?
No, I'm not disappointed. I know a lot of people were, you know, people are whining because it's so predictable. It's so predictable now. Well, you know, you whine when it's predictable, and then you whine when it's not predictable. So, like, you know, make your choice. What pleases you, right?
Well, like, are you... I mean, it just seemed to me that it was a little disappointing in the fact that everyone in that arena last night knew what was going to happen, except for John Cena himself, it seemed. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It was so blatantly obvious what was about to transpire. And to me, part of that reasoning is because just the amount of time it took Big Show to bring John Laurinaitis from the back into the ring, and the way Big Show is standing in the ring, I mean, a solid 2-3 minutes went by. You think in those 3 minutes that Cena would have some sort of questionable doubt in his mind that Big Show was going to turn. It didn't work for me.
Personally, as soon as I saw him come out in the collared shirt and the dress pants, I knew right away, okay, we're going to see a Big Show heel turn here. Mm-hmm. Because face Big Show does not dress in snappy clothes.
No.
Heel Big Show, yes. Babyface Big Show, no. Does not dress in snappy clothes.
What about the pay-per-view in general then? Are we going to rate it? Let's rank it on a scale of 1 to 10. You know, what would you put it
on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give it probably a solid 6.
Solid 6.
And it would have got higher if that main event hadn't have dragged it all down. It had such... Oh, I don't know. I felt it had a really good momentum until it just hit that one match at the end. And then it just seemed to... You know,
well, I'm just going to go a little...
Slow down.
I'm going to go a little worse than you. I'm going to actually put this at a 4. I just thought this pay-per-view, the build-up to the pay-per-view was terrible.
Oh, there's lots of good matches on this pay-per-view.
They're all forgettable, though. They're no different than a match that we see on Monday Night Raw. They're not. There's nothing to remember about this pay-per-view.
I got to disagree with you there. I thought they were way, way better than matches that we'd see on Monday Night
Raw. What's to remember about this pay-per-view, though? Let's just be honest. Tell me, what a year from now, what are we going to remember about Over the Limit?
Oh, there's going to be nothing that we're going to remember a year from now, but I'm not saying it's a bad pay-per-view just because we're not going to take anything away from it. I'm not going
to... Do you feel ripped off if you are someone who paid $50 to order this?
After that main event, yes.
Of course. There's these reasons alone that I'm ranking this pay-per-view. I'm not basing it off the matches themselves. I'm basing it on more than just that. The build-up, the hype, the actual just the storylines that are coming out of this. Like, the whole thing to me is just forgettable. Not a fan of the pay-per-view at all. I didn't like what I saw. They had an opportunity tonight to follow up with something better. Do you think they did?
Tonight's Monday Night Raw? That was probably a forgettable Raw as well. I don't know. I didn't find it to be the most exciting Raw ever. I mean, the main event match was forgettable to me. Just all the matches seem to be kind of pointless tonight. Mm-hmm. That's just the general impression I got after watching Raw.
All right, well, we're going to get into Monday Night Raw here tonight on SRL on a Monday night. Before we do, though, James, we had a contest that we held on last Thursday's show.
That's right, we did too.
And that was for an opportunity to win a copy of our guest from Thursday's book. That book was titled... Wrestling in the Canadian West, written by Vance Nevada, the encyclopedia of wrestling in Canada, I'd like to say.
What a tome of wrestling knowledge this is, and the amount of work that Vance went through to put this book together is just staggering. The people that he asked and all the research that he did to make this book happen was just unbelievable. So definitely, if you get a chance, you ever see it somewhere, pick it up, because it's a fantastic read.
We do have a winner. After we asked a trivia question for an opportunity to win this book, the trivia question was, who was the only Canadian to headline WrestleMania 1? And the correct answer?
Roddy Piper, the guy we had on our show.
Congratulations to Josh Richardson of Seattle, Washington, for emailing us the correct answer.
Way to go, Josh.
Not too many people emailing us these days with the trivia answers, but Josh definitely pulled it out. There was a few. Random luck of the draw. Josh wins. There we go. Time to move on.
It's interesting how a guy from Seattle would want a book about wrestling in the Canadian West, but you know what?
It's only 3 hours away.
There you go.
You know what? Even if I lived in the United States, this is a book worth having, I'm telling you. Because if you're not educated on wrestling in Canada, that will definitely help you out for sure. Now, Monday Night Raw tonight coming from Richmond, Virginia.
The Richmond Center.
Now, the next pay-per-view it's worth mentioning, it is No Way Out, and that will be happening June 17th. Mm-hmm. So we have
three and a half weeks about.
Well, we have a little more time than usual to build up a pay-per-view, which I mean, 4 weeks seems almost rare these days because a lot of times we have 2 weeks in between pay-per-views. So
seems like that these days, doesn't it?
So it'll be interesting to see where they go from here. But tonight we start Monday Night Raw off with a recap of John Laurinaitis versus John Cena's match from last night's pay-per-view. We get to see clips of Laurinaitis getting chopped. He's getting fire extinguished by John Cena. He's seating that, Cena sits Laurinaitis down at the commentator's table. If you haven't seen this match yet from Over the Limit, don't.
No. It's bad.
The most important part of the montage is, when we see Big Show turning on John Cena, and then we get to see these awesome gratuitous shots of fans who are just shocked that Big Show has turned on the crowd.
Do you really think people were reacting in this fashion? I mean, we had kids crying and
girls
old,
in disbelief.
Old ladies holding their cheeks, and
the guy in the green John Cena t-shirt with his two kids, he's just shocked. Obvious plant.
It's like the world just ended right there.
Obvious plant by the WWE. but my favorite part of this video to start off Monday Night Raw is how it ends with Jerry Lawler saying, "This could be the darkest day in the company." Speaking about John Laurinaitis beating John Cena last night. Anyways, regardless, to start Monday Night Raw after this video, Cena's music hits, and yes, he walks out to a pretty positive ovation for himself. Michael Cole has some words about John Cena being a loser to John Laurinaitis, and Cena heads straight to grab a microphone. He means business here tonight, and he shoots a look at Cole as he gets in the ring, and Cena goes on to say, "I've had a lot of these matches. I've won some, I've lost some, but win, lose, or draw, I usually say congratulations, let's move on. But last night, what the hell happened?"
A very angry John Cena to start off Monday Night Raw this week.
Now, are you buying his anger, or is it cheesy anger?
No, I'm...
To me, that's what it comes off as.
It does. Everything John Cena does nowadays is coming off of cheesy, which really sucks, because again, we've talked about this before. I really thought we would have seen some kind of progression in John Cena's character, but no, it's just the same old crap that we've been fed for the past 2-3 years now.
We had a 3-month window when he was building his program with The Rock heading into WrestleMania 28, where we did see a very serious Cena and a convincing Cena.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's gone out the window.
It was very nice.
Went out the window with Rock's departure, and we are back to the over-the-top, ridiculous, cheesy John Cena.
Terrible comedy.
Just terrible acting.
Yeah.
But John Cena goes on to say, he says reluctantly that Laurinaitis beat me last night. We were having fun as John was getting his tail whipped. It was everything it was supposed to be. And then the Big Show showed up. He brought John Laurinaitis back into the arena, and it was fun again. He gave me John Laurinaitis to finish the job, and then the Big Show knocked me out cold, and your winner was John Laurinaitis. The world's largest athlete deciding to sell out. There's no possible explanation to explain what the Big Show was thinking. Hmm. Now we are stuck with people power garbage. It's at this moment that John Laurinaitis' music hits, and he cuts off John Cena. But instead of Laurinaitis walking out, Eve Torres actually takes his place. And John Cena wastes no time in saying, "Wow, John, you got really hot, but you still suck." Eve Torres then introduces John Laurinaitis, who comes out in, and this has got to be the best part of the Monday Night Raw tonight.
It is.
He comes out in a motorized scooter labeled People Power.
It's like one of the carts that mobility challenge seniors use to get around and do their grocery shopping.
Look how politically correct you are.
Well, I can't be Jerry the King Lawler tonight now, can
no.
I? We'll talk about that later. But
Eve Torres helps John Laurinaitis get up from this motorized scooter, and he actually needs a crutch to stand on. And
the People Power cutout on the front. That's what made it for me.
Laurinaitis says, "After our match last night, Cena, I was rushed to the emergency room. The doctors said that I have a possible broken clavicle, possible damage to my ACL and PCL, and might have a possible spinal injury and contusions all over my body."
I'm sorry, but John Laurinaitis, I'm thinking at this point, he is the worst seller of injuries I have ever seen. I am not believing that he's hurt in any way, shape, form.
He also cannot move his arm and legs, which means possible nerve damage. But he says that's okay, because inside that ring last night, he proved that he was a fierce competitor. Outside the ring, though, John Laurinaitis is a WWE executive, and that means that if John Cena lays a finger on John Laurinaitis, he will be immediately terminated.
If anybody lays a finger on him, he'll be they'll be immediately terminated.
Yes.
Yeah.
But most importantly, John Laurinaitis says, enough about me. I'd like to reintroduce you to the man that I rehired on Saturday and gave a nice bonus to. The man you will face at No Way Out, John Cena. This man, his name is The Big Show. Now, let me just stop for a second here. John Laurinaitis goes out on a limb and says, I rehired this man on Saturday. The pay-per-view, Over the Limit, was last night, which is the day after, on the Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of the match stipulation was, if anyone interferes in this match, they will be immediately terminated.
I never put that together, actually.
So, Laurinaitis is here admitting that he rehired the Big Show and put him under contract the day before the pay-per-view. And then Big Show interfering in the main event, technically, that would make him get fired.
Oh, very good, very good. I never picked that one out.
I think
a little bit of an illogicality there.
A little bit. That should be a huge one.
Yes.
This whole plan of John Laurinaitis should backfire on him. It won't, but that's another point. Big Show's music hits, and he walks out wearing a suit. The crowd chants different things at the Big Show, like, you suck and you're a sellout. I think this is going to be the big one, is that you're a sellout.
Yep.
And Big Show goes on to say, Cena, I'm sure you and everyone else would like an explanation for what happened, and quite frankly, none of you are entitled to one. However, I will say that last week on this show, I was on my knees doing something I thought I'd never do, begging for my job. No one loves this business more than I do. I was so upset I found myself crying. It's at this point that the crowd is chanting quite loudly, you're a sellout, to the Big Show. And Big Show responds to him by saying he has no sympathy for any of them. And he did what he would have done. Sorry. He did what anyone else in that arena would have done. Now he has an ironclad contract. And how dare anyone in the crowd, including John Cena himself, for judging him? And then he says, Cena, I will be judging you June 17th. There will be no way out because you, my friend, I'm going to knock you out.
Well, there you go. Two things established right here. Number one, Big Show is definitely a heel now. Like I was saying last week on Monday night, or on SRL on a Monday night, I think this is the best thing for Big Show, is to turn back into the monster heel. Number two, it looks like we're going to see a program with John Cena and Big Show heading forward here. So how do you feel about that?
Well, my bigger question would be, if it wasn't the Big Show, who would be next? I'm glad that they're putting Brock Cena on the back burner, because it gives Brock Lesnar the opportunity to come back after a little bit of time and go back to John Cena if need be. Or he could go to Triple H, whatever way works. The point is they're building these programs slowly. I don't think Brock Lesnar and John Cena are done yet. That's just my personal opinion.
You don't think so, eh?
Well, for me, if I'm thinking very long term down the road, it would make sense that you would have John Cena versus Brock Lesnar right away when Brock makes his return. Have Brock disappear for a while, have Cena go on to other things, and possibly revisit this program at next year's WrestleMania. I mean, it wouldn't be building a year-long program down the road, just like they did with Cena and The Rock, but they're not really announcing it this time.
Again, though, I am not excited for that at all, because Cena's already beat him, so why do I want to see them wrestle again?
Okay, well, if it's not going to be Brock Lesnar, then who would it be? Who would John Cena go on to face for these next few months?
Oh, if it's not Brock Lesnar? Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, it's got to be the Big Show, right?
I know, but that's what I'm saying. It could have been anyone. So if you put it in that context, am I happy that it's the Big Show? Yeah, because he's a worthy competitor and he deserves a little push into the main event spotlight. If it wasn't the Big Show, I really can't think of anyone at this point who should be feuding with John Cena. I mean, you could argue Randy Orton, as always, but I just don't want to see it.
It's been a while since we've seen Orton and Cena
in
a feud together. But
so I don't mind seeing Big Show and Cena. I don't think we've really seen these two go full steam at a program before, have we?
It's been a while. Remember they had that WrestleMania match way back? That was when John Cena's first appearance at WrestleMania was against the Big Show.
Beat
him for the U.S. title. So they have feuded sporadically throughout their past.
As I'm sure Cena's done with everyone, yes.
Yeah, well, of course. Yeah. I mean, it's just the way it is in the WWE.
I don't dislike this decision. Let's put it that way. I don't mind seeing these two go at it. And I think they're capable of putting on something good. I mean, really, in the big scheme of things, is it an important match? No. It's just a storyline that's being shoved down our throats again. But pretty much anything John Laurinaitis does is being shoved down our throats.
So you're feeling better with a Big Show Cena program going forward, as opposed to, say, maybe a Tensai Cena program.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I am. I don't like how they've just inserted Big Show into Laurinaitis and Cena's problems, but you know it was going to happen. There's got to be other people are going to become involved. But to me, it's I don't even know how to put it into words. I'm just not like excited about this program.
No, I
don't. I'd like to see these two, and yes, I think Big Show deserves to be there, but it's not interesting to me. I'm not feeling like this is a must-see program.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is, to me, more of a time-passing-by program until Cena finds the next big opponent. Right? That's probably what Vince is maybe thinking as well.
I'm kind of excited about this program going forward because I like Big Show a lot better as a heel than as a babyface.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's face it, he's way better as a bad guy than as a good guy. And I think he'll make a good counterpoint for Cena for these summer months maybe going forward. So
Fair enough.
Just what I think.
Now, after the Big Show, you know, says that he's going to knock John Cena out, tonight on Raw, David Otunga's music hits, and this is all still the very first segment of opening Monday Night Raw. David Otunga walks out and says to John Cena, "Cena, you lost to my boss, Mr. Laurinaitis, last night, and now it's time for you to lose to me." And Cena says, "David, I'm not in the mood. Go into the back and watch reruns of Law and Order, because if you get in this ring tonight, I'm going to hurt you." And Otunga says, "So be it," and dedicates his match tonight against John Cena to John Laurinaitis.
Do you like the big red blazer that Otunga's wearing before he does the poses?
I like everything that David Otunga does.
You like everything about David Otunga?
I do. Sweet. I'm actually, you know what? Actually, let me back up for a second. We were just talking about guys who possibly could go into a program with John Cena.
Why not David Otunga?
I'm actually a fan of David Otunga going up against John Cena. Yeah. It works. To me, it's actually more logical to have that than to have the Big Show, because Otunga's been with Laurinaitis for months.
Yeah, no, it's funny, talking about David Otunga heading into a possible program with John Cena. It's like, 4 months ago, would you ever imagine yourself saying that? That you'd like to see David Otunga go into a program with John Cena?
4 months ago, I would have never said I would have liked to see that, but I would have expected it, because I believe about 3 months ago, I was sitting here saying that the best of David Otunga was yet to come. I really think that David Otunga has not had the opportunity that he will have at some point in the future. He's going to get a major push. You watch.
Yeah, I know. I don't disagree.
This would have been a good time to do it, but I guess they're going Big Show.
Well, maybe they want him to be a little bit more seasoned. Who knows? Who knows how they...
Well, how did David Otunga versus John Cena run down tonight?
Well, if you really want to call this a match, this match, if you want to call it, was about 2 minutes long. Essentially, the match started with David Otunga stalling by entering and leaving the ring multiple times until Cena finally had to chase him around the outside and catch up with him. David Otunga would then get a little bit of offense into him, but then basically Cena would take control, hit him with a clothesline into the corner, pick him up for an AA, slap on the STF, and David Otunga would tap out right away. Like I said, match was maybe 2 minutes long.
I thought David Otunga would have a better chance of beating John Cena tonight. It would have been interesting to see not only John Laurinaitis to beat Cena last night, but then to have his protege, Otunga, followed up with another victory. No. But then you're ultimately burying John Cena.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't do that to John Cena.
But how many times have we seen Otunga try and take on Cena and just fall short?
And just get fed to him?
Yeah.
Lots of times. Ugh. Just this year alone.
I know.
Lots
of times. That's what I'm saying.
Anyways, after the match was over, we actually had Curt Hawkins, Tyler Rex, Titus O'Neil, and Darren Young all run into the ring and attack Cena after the match. But then your world heavyweight champion Sheamus would run out. He'd make the save, and then him and Cena would clear the ring together, stand tall. Sheamus wearing a new shirt this week, by the way. What's a brand? Bro Kick to Hooligans, I think it's.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is.
Anyways, he's wearing a new shirt.
I'm not a big fan of it.
You're just not a big fan of Sheamus.
No, he doesn't do it for me. I do not like this push they're giving to Sheamus, but regardless.
Oh, they strapped the rocket to him for sure.
Ugh. John Laurinaitis saying to all these four men, Hawkins, Rex, Young, and O'Neil, he goes, "What are you doing? I didn't give you permission to go and do that. Get to the back, go to the locker room," obviously expressing his power of dominance over these four relative newcomers. And Cena, Sheamus looking to the audience, Laurinaitis says, "Cena, Sheamus, it looks like the audience likes to see you guys in action, so in the name of people power, you are teaming up for a 2-on-3 handicap match tonight, but for the first time ever on Raw, you will be teaming up for a 2-on-3 lumberjack match."
Woo! 2-on-3 lumberjack match. And this is supposed to accomplish what? Like.
Oh my God, I don't even know. Let's just move on. We then get to Justin Roberts, who introduces Ricardo Rodriguez. But before he can introduce Del Rio, Santino's music hits and he walks out. And Michael Cole makes reference to the fact that Ricardo and Santino had a little exchange on Santino's YouTube show, Foreign Exchange. Now, I thought when Michael Cole was saying this that they were going to allude to this in the upcoming promo, but not even a single mention about this. So I don't even know why Michael Cole would say something about it. But Santino goes on to say to Ricardo Rodriguez, you know, I can't understand anything you say. Your accent is ridiculous.
Accident.
You know, in the Santino accent. I'm not even going to begin to try it. He says, I'm beginning to think that you don't know the art of introduction. Try rolling your R's, Ricardo.
Oh, this was just horrid, this next part.
Now, after a little bit of both men exchanging, rolling their R's, and in the heat of it all, Santino pulls out the Cobra and Ricardo gets scared. He tries to pull off his jacket, but actually it's still buttoned up and it's stuck on Ricardo's body. Santino ends up hitting him with the Cobra. Santino then attempts introducing Alberto Del Rio. Now, this is just bizarre to me because after Santino attempts to introduce Alberto Del Rio, we then go to Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler on camera, and Cole announces that Monday Night Raw is continuing to grow, and we're thrown to a package right in the middle of Del Rio's entrance, announcing that Raw is moving to 3 hours permanently starting July 23rd. After this video package is shown, Alberto Del Rio then drives out and gets into the ring, eventually followed by Randy Orton, after a commercial break.
Oh, geez.
Setting up Randy Orton versus Alberto Del Rio. So let me just go back here for a second. We're ultimately setting up Randy Orton versus Alberto Del Rio. Just to get to this match, we go from Ricardo Rodriguez and Santino doing an exchange in the ring, and then we go to introducing Alberto Del Rio by Santino.
Mm-hmm.
But before Alberto even comes out, we have Michael Cole throwing to a video package. We come out of the video package to another entrance. And then we go to commercial. And then we come back from commercial, finally getting to the ring.
A hell of a long time to get this match
going. Do people even care about this match after this long?
No kidding.
It's crazy.
No.
Regardless, Randy Orton versus Alberto Del Rio.
You know what? It was a decent match. I mean, again, kind of a pointless match. It was basically back and forth from the both of them until the finish came, which was set up when Del Rio would actually have Orton set up on the ropes, and he would go back, he'd hit the back rope, try to go for a drop kick, but he'd miss it. He'd fly through the second rope to the outside. Orton would then pick him up and then begin to hit his moveset. You know, he'd hit him with a couple clotheslines, then the power slam. Then he hit Del Rio with the draping DDT. But just as Orton was setting up to hit Del Rio with the RKO, you'd see Chris Jericho actually run into the ring corner, and Orton would turn around and actually get hit by a codebreaker from Jericho, and then the match would be thrown out, and Jericho would be disqualified. So,
which I thought was very interesting that Jericho was even making an appearance tonight, because on Twitter yesterday, Jericho said that his match at Over the Limit last night was going to be his last match.
Well, doesn't look like it. Doesn't look like it now.
Bit of a surprise with his arrival tonight.
Maybe that's why he was posting it on Twitter, just to throw everybody off.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
After the match was over, Jericho actually grabs a mic and says to Randy Orton, "I am the best in the world at what I do. Do you understand?" He ends up giving another code breaker to Orton. And again, Jericho yelling in the face of Randy, "Do you understand?" Jericho, about to leave the ring, he goes back to pick up Orton one more time. He drags him to his feet, and Chris Jericho ends up giving a third codebreaker to Randy Orton.
Wow. So there you go. This right away tells me that we're going to see a feud with Randy Orton and Chris Jericho heading forward.
I don't mind it.
I don't mind that either. I think we'll see some really good matches between the two.
Mm-hmm. The two definitely can wrestle.
Yeah, and one of them's good on the mic. The other one's not so bad.
It'll be interesting to see how Jericho differs this program with Orton than the one that he just had with CM Punk.
It will be, definitely.
Because he basically tried the same thing with Punk, but Punk shut him right up. So, you know, is this...
Are you talking about the whole best in the world
thing?
Yeah. You know. No, I don't think they'll base the feud on that.
No?
I don't know what
they'll... sure started it off like that tonight.
Yeah, it started off like that, but I don't know. Do you think they're really that low on creativity that they just start a brand new fresh program with Chris Jericho on the same basis of the one that he just got out of?
My short answer? Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do believe that.
Yes, 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 yes.
It's true. They don't even think about these things. I mean, I bet you they didn't even put two and two together that this is the exact same way that the other one started. I bet you. It'll be interesting to see. Let's just put it that way. If I was Randy Orton, I come out either on SmackDown or next week's Raw, and I say, you know, you just sat there a month ago claiming to be the best in the world, and you got your ass handed to you by CM Punk. So what gives you the right to even say it to me? You know, like,
exactly.
That's how Orton should go with it. But
well, you got to hand it to Jericho. I mean, the guy's 0-5 at pay per view since returning, and he's still still one of the top heels. So it says something.
Still rock out the leather pants whenever he wants.
I love the leather pants. Love I know the
you
leather
do.
Pants.
I know you do. You just wish you could fit into yourself.
Exactly.
Daniel Bryan's music hits. He walks out, a very serious-looking Daniel Bryan tonight, and he says, you know, last night at Over the Limit, a great injustice was done. I should be standing here as your WWE champion. It's question and answer time now with Daniel Bryan, and he begins to ask a series of questions. Did I make CM Punk tap out? Yes. Should I be WWE champion? Yes. If I face CM Punk one more time, will I make him tap out again? Yes. And the crowd, they're going along with it. They're chanting yes. There were some chanting no. And Daniel Bryan demands a rematch against CM Punk. It's at this point that Punk's music hits, and he walks out right to the entrance ramp with a microphone in his hand. Punk says, allow me to clear up any controversy there may be from last night. He said that last night, it was one of the greatest battles he's ever been in, but CM Punk pinned you. He then wants to remind everyone, this is CM Punk talking.
Right.
He wants to remind everyone that what happened on SmackDown last Friday, and we're showing a video, Punk throwing to a video up on the Titantron, and it's Daniel Bryan hitting Kane with the chair, and Kane thinking it was actually CM Punk who hit him, and that forced Kane to go off on CM Punk. Punk then introduces Kane as Daniel Bryan's opponent tonight for Monday Night Raw.
Shade, a little bit of shades of Eddie Guerrero there with what happened on Friday Night SmackDown. Yeah, I kind of enjoyed that. No, that's cool. But again, this match between Daniel Bryan and Kane, it was short and sweet. It had Kane in control most of the time. You know, Kane took the offense early with some punches. He'd hit a clothesline on the corner on Daniel Bryan. Kane would then at one point run into the corner. He'd miss. Daniel Bryan would then go up to the top rope, try to jump down onto Kane, but he'd land into like a choke slam attempt, but he'd reverse the choke slam attempt. He'd then pull the top rope down as Kane would run at him. Kane would tumble over the top rope, and then Daniel Bryan would hit him with a suicide dive to the outside. I think that was just before we went to break. And then as we came back to break, they're still fighting on the outside, and it was at this point that CM Punk would now get involved, and he'd, you know, try to get involved with a chair, but Kane would then grab the chair away from CM Punk and start unloading on Daniel Bryan and essentially get himself disqualified. So it was Daniel Bryan winning this match by disqualification. Kane would then pick up Daniel Bryan, roll him back into the ring, go back into the ring, and he'd chokeslam him actually twice before leaving the ring. And then it was at this point that CM Punk would go into the ring, put Daniel Bryan into the Anaconda Vice, and then
Daniel Bryan immediately tapping out to the move.
Immediately tapping out.
And then little revenge for last night.
Exactly. And then CM Punk chanting yes, yes, yes as we head to yet another commercial break, I believe.
Now, after the break, CM Punk is walking backstage and AJ walks up to him and she says that she just wanted to tell Punk she enjoyed watching Punk beat up Daniel Bryan last night. And Punk actually calls her sadistic and she literally turns evil for a moment if you look at her facial expressions.
Yeah.
CM Punk then says, you know, it's been you... You know it's been you who's been off your rocker for the past few months, right? You know, I guess AJ this whole time thinking it's Daniel Bryan, but Punk's actually saying it's her that's off her rocker. AJ actually breaks down crying, and Punk brings her in for a hug, consoles her, and tells her everything will be just fine.
Punk, you bastard, making this cute little girl cry.
AJ immediately stops crying once Punk tells her it'll be okay, though.
How heelish of you.
And Punk says to her, I sort of dig crazy chicks.
Oh, the plot thickens. The plot thickens. So
what
looks
will
like...
Lita think? What would Lita think?
So it looks like two things. Looks like the program between Daniel Bryan and CM Punk is definitely going to continue moving forward. And it looks like, number two, that AJ is going to be a focal point, I think, of the go-between between these two. What do you think
now,
of that?
Now, well, we thought AJ was going to make an appearance last night at Over the Limit.
That's what I thought, too. But
she didn't. So... they didn't want to ruin that pay-per-view match last night by, you know, by bringing AJ into it. It'll be interesting to see how involved she gets with this program. She is going to be the catalyst for sure, without question.
I think maybe you'll see AJ get involved with CM Punk, but her motive will be to try to kind of get Daniel Bryan jealous throughout the whole thing. And then maybe at the end of the program, you'll see her actually screw CM Punk maybe out of the title, and then it'll be, you know, her and Daniel Bryan will make this glorious reunion as he wins the title or whatever.
And it was all part of their plan to get the championship around Bryan's waist.
Yeah.
That's...
It's you know, it's atypical wrestling storyline, but...
If it actually happens. It's just... Obviously, it's early, but these are just predictions. Hey,
this is
why we do this.
This is what this show is all about. We are 100% speculation.
Nice. Now, Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler at this point in the show, they tell us that Triple H is actually back in Connecticut meeting with WWE legal counsel about what to do regarding Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman's lawsuit, and that Triple H will not be at Raw tonight. And Cole lets the people at home know that WWE.com is on the case, and if you want more information regarding these lawsuits, log on. Will you be logging on to check out the update of the lawsuits, James?
Yes. I'll be following this every day.
So this is basically all we get advancing any sort of Brock Lesnar or any sort of Paul Heyman. And
That was the only mention we got of them this week was this little video package they put together.
It wasn't even a video package. It was just telling us.
And
it had graphic
photos from last week or whatever, but
do you like that they're publicizing these lawsuits?
Again, this just goes with this whole reality era that they're trying to go with now. Mm-hmm. You know, making things like lawsuits and contract negotiations all, you know, part of storyline now, which they never did before.
But do you like it?
No, I do. I like it.
Oh, you do like it?
No, I like it. Yeah, it adds a little bit of reality. Well, again, reality era. It adds a little bit of... What's the word I'm looking for here?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. So let's move on. All right. Caught for words.
You're saying it adds a little sense of realism to the product.
Yeah, essentially is what I'm trying to get at.
Okay, fair enough. Christian's music hits. He walks out. Jinder Mahal is shown at ringside, putting his turban in a fiberglass box. Now, this might be the most racist rant we've heard of 2012.
Holy.
Jerry Lawler calling the East Indian turban a rat's tail.
Yeah.
What is that?
And right away afterwards, you know, he's doing damage control, right?
Oh, he knew he screwed up as soon as he said it.
Right away, he's doing damage control.
You cannot be saying that, Jerry.
You really got to watch what you say.
He said he didn't mean to offend anyone with that comment, except that was pretty bad. Now, this would just set up a standard match with Jinder Mahal versus the newly crowned and returning Intercontinental Champion, Christian.
Right, so this was a pretty decent match, actually, and Christian would take early control. He'd hit a neckbreaker and a missile dropkick on Jinder Mahal, but then Jinder would take control back, and he'd actually do this really cool-looking back body drop where he was actually on the apron, but he back body dropped Christian through the second rope to the outside, and that was actually kind of cool, and then Jinder would be in control for a bit. He'd do some knees, hit a suplex for a two count until Christian turned it around after hitting a sunset flip for a two count. Christian would then hit a running elbow smash. He'd do his spinning elbow off the second rope. He'd then go for the kill switch, but Mahal would reverse the attempt, big boot him down. Christian would actually get up, duck a clothesline, hit the kill switch this time, but instead of going for the pin, he'd go to the top rope, hit a frog splash, get the win, 1-2-3. Match was about, 7-8 minutes, I'd say.
Now, are you actually a fan of Christian making his return last night at Over the Limit and then winning the belt in his return night, kind of like what Layla did at Extreme Rules?
I don't know. It's, you know, it with those kind of things, it really depends on what kind of name power the person has. Somebody like Layla coming back and winning the Divas title after being away, I don't know, she doesn't have as much name power as, say, a Christian would, I guess. If it was like The Miz maybe coming back and doing that, then yeah, I'd have a little bit of a problem. Christian, maybe, you know, Christian, not so much. He's a little bit more established.
My main question about what we saw tonight with him, though, is
it's
why
not
did we
100%
see...
unbelievable for me. That's what I'm
okay, fair enough. But why did we see no follow-up from Cody Rhodes tonight?
I think Cody Rhodes is going on a bit of a vacation, if I remember reading some reports correctly.
Interesting.
He's taking some time off for a little while, so.
Well, that would make a whole lot of sense, because for you to just take the title away from him one night and then not even follow up seemed a little weird to me.
Yeah, I think he's going on vacation for a little bit, from what I understand.
Are you happy to see Christian back?
I've always liked Christian.
Yeah, he is a face now. He's no longer a bad guy.
I've always thought he's better as a heel. He's just one of these guys that I don't know. I've always thought he's played a heel better, but
I don't like him as a face either. He's too cheesy. I hate it when he's like in a mid-match and then he starts clapping to get the crowd going on his, like, he's trying to get the crowd on his side and he starts, you know, clapping while he's wrestling in a match.
He's not the only one to do that.
It's so stupid. You could do it if you're a tag team partner and you're on the outside of the ring waiting for your tag. When you are in the match, no, I don't.
I've seen other guys do that. That doesn't bother me whatsoever. No, I
not in today's wrestling. You don't see many guys doing it.
Sure you do. Trying to get the crowd involved in it mid-match? Absolutely.
Clapping,
doing whatever. Yeah, you see it.
I don't see it.
Oh, you see, John Cena does it.
He doesn't count as a wrestler to me.
Okay. Well, now that we've established this. But no, I honestly don't have any problem with Christian coming back. And
I'm not a big Christian fan. I'm just not. I was fine with Cena. That's where we'll disagree.
I've always liked Edge and Christian, even when they first came back. When they first came in way back with the Brood, I've always been.
Well, that's different. That part of Christian I like, but this new era of Christian, I'm not a fan of. But that's my own opinion. Kelly versus Beth Phoenix tonight on Monday Night Raw. Standard match.
Yeah, it was your basic minute and a half women's match. It was essentially Beth Phoenix in control the whole match until at one point Kelly had her in the corner. She went to do that backflip elbow into the corner that Chyna made famous, but
cartwheel backflip.
Thanks. And then Phoenix would actually clothesline her down before she could hit the elbow, pick her up, hit the glam slam, get the 1-2-3 again. It's your basic, you know.
Yeah.
Minute and a half bathroom break. Had Layla watching from the back, of course.
We are then shown John Laurinaitis wheeling himself around backstage in his motorized scooter. That was my favorite part of the night.
Oh, I love it.
Just seeing him drive around in this motorized scooter, that was the best part about Raw. And he's got these decals, people power all over this motorized scooter. Just beautiful.
Yeah, no, it was good.
Sheamus and John Cena make their way to the ring for the main event tonight. Now, the big question was, you know, who is Sheamus and John Cena going to take on in this 2-on-3 handicap lumberjack match? And we found out very quickly that it would be Jack Swagger and Dolph Ziggler were two of them, because Vicky Guerrero interrupts the party inside the arena by yelling, "Excuse me." And you were saying here, James, that the heat that Vicky Guerrero gets,
unbelievable.
It's on par with Laurinaitis, if not better.
Oh, unbelievable. Her and Laurinaitis are the two biggest heat magnets in the WWE by far, hands down.
I'd like to see those two go at it for control of power. That would be a good one for sure.
Well, then one of them would have to be a good guy. You can't have that. They're both firmly established heels.
I know, but I'm just saying that would be very interesting to see.
Like, yeah, would be.
The heat that both get.
Yeah, it's just unreal.
After yelling "excuse me," she does introduce Swagger and Ziggler, and now the third partner to be with those two would be Tensai.
Yes, no longer Lord Tensai, just Tensai now, sans robe.
Interesting.
So you know a gimmick is not working when it's being changed 8 weeks after its debut.
Like, what's the... I'm just trying to think of the reasoning as to eliminating Lord
from why, the name. Why he would lose his lordship and his robe.
Yeah.
I don't know. The whole gimmick itself just isn't working. Why they wouldn't just keep him off TV for a month and maybe repackage him, I don't know. Because, I don't know, for me the Tensai thing is just not...
Not working?
No, not for me, no. What about you? I'm sitting there watching Raw with you, and you're sitting there going, man, I don't like how this guy looks. I don't like anything about this guy. You were just going off
on him. I like his size. I like... That's the one thing I like about him. I like his size. He's a big man. I just think you need to be in a little better shape, and I just think the gimmick's not working. You know Vince is loving it, though, because it's a character. It's a over-the-top, lavish gimmick. He's got size. You know, he's an established wrestler. He's been part of the company before. There's history to go with him. There's a background. You know Vince loves Tensai.
So how much longer do you think we'll see Tensai going forward, based purely on that it's just Vince McMahon's love for this character keeping it going and not the fans?
We've seen storylines, characters, wrestlers go on for much longer than they should, all because Vince likes them. So this would be no different, in my opinion. So these three are taking on Sheamus and John Cena. Again, this is a lumberjack match, remember, tonight, James. So the lumberjacks at this point make their way out to the ring. And right away, everyone notices that these are all bad guys coming out from the back. There are no good guys as lumberjacks tonight. We have guys like Tyler Rex, Kurt Hawkins, Hunico, Titus O'Neil, Darren Young, Chris Jericho, Drew McIntyre,
Del Rio, Otunga,
Epico and Primo,
yep.
Jinder Mahal.
All heels, all bad guys.
And this would set up Cena and Sheamus versus Swagger, Ziggler, and Tensai.
Okay, this was actually quite a long match. I think this match went over 20 minutes, so I'm not going to go through this match move by move, detail by detail.
Oh, come on. Come on.
No, not going to happen. But basically, I'll say it was your basic handicap tag match where the face would be worked on until the other baby face got a hot tag. So essentially most of the match, it was Sheamus getting worked on by Ziggler, Swagger, and Tensai until the finish, essentially, when Sheamus was actually able to fight his way out of the corner, picks Jack Swagger, who was the legal man at the time, and he'd do that flipping senton that he likes to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd give John Cena the hot tag, and then Cena would get in and he'd start clearing the ring with... he'd start, taking care of business. He'd close line down Ziggler, then Swagger. And then just as he was about to take care of Tensai, actually, it was Sheamus was dragged down. He was kind of beaten down by the Lumberjacks. Actually, this throughout the whole match, guys, the faces were getting tossed down to the Lumberjacks and getting beat down. So It was actually, there's nothing really surprising about this match.
But whenever the heels would get thrown out.
Of course, they wouldn't get touched and they'd, be able to go back in at will.
Yeah.
So essentially the finish of the match was the Lumberjacks all got involved and they both beat down on Sheamus and John Cena until all the baby faces ran out to make the save. And at some point, as all the baby faces are fighting all the heels, John Cena makes his way backstage. He's looking for the Big Show, I guess, and he runs into John Laurinaitis. So that was the whole match. We had a 20-something minute handicap tag match to just get thrown out and be completely pointless at the end.
Oh, I hate when they do that.
That's why I took all these notes on this match, and then I saw that finish, and I'm like,
yeah.
Why am I even going to describe the match?
Yeah.
You know?
It just, that could be a 5-minute match in the ring.
Oh, exactly.
Whatever.
But we got 20 something minutes of it.
I'm staying positive here tonight. now, when John Cena does go into the back and he catches up to John Laurinaitis, he does ask Laurinaitis where the Big Show is. And Laurinaitis reminds Cena that he can't touch him, John Laurinaitis, or he will be fired. And as Cena turns around, he's met with a fist out of nowhere from the Big Show.
Bam!
And Raw heads off the air.
Let's kick it up a notch.
In the words of Emeril Lagasse. So this is how it ends. Big Show clobbering Cena with a weapon of mass destruction.
And then we see Big Show walking off after John Laurinaitis, who does not have his motorized scooter at this point, which I found was kind of odd.
Now, what do you make of how Raw goes off the air tonight? An obvious attempt at putting Big Show over John Cena, like we saw last night as well.
They're definitely trying to... resell Big Show as the monster heel, which I think they're doing a good job of. It's not very hard to sell.
Well, they got to do it two nights in a row because they know that no one bought the pay-per-view last night. So they got to pretty much do it over.
They
got to
do it again, right? Yeah,
right?
No, a few things we learned from this week's Monday Night Raw. We learned that we're going to see Big Show and John Cena going forward. Their match has now already been announced tonight for the next pay-per-view, which is No Way Out.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Cena and Big Show going forward. We're definitely going to have Daniel Bryan and CM Punk going forward again. Looks like we're going to have Randy Orton and Chris Jericho, so that, by default, maybe means that Sheamus and Del Rio are going to have a program going forward. I don't know.
Yeah, no, you're making good points. These are all very,
Nothing from Brodus Clay tonight.
Nothing. Yeah, no mention of Brodus Clay tonight.
No mention, no nothing of Brodus Clay tonight, so.
No Brock Lesnar, other than what Michael Cole had said.
No Paul Heyman tonight.
I just thought it was a very lackluster Monday Night Raw.
It's your general... I don't know. To me, it just felt like your basic throw-together Raw to kind of sweep up the garbage from everything that happened at last night's pay-per-view, I guess.
And they had it. But to me, after having a pay-per-view like that, you would want to follow up with something strong. I wasn't seeing that tonight. I didn't think that it was a very strong show altogether. Most importantly, I thought the ending was no different than what I witnessed last night.
And they didn't really answer a lot of questions going forward, I guess. We can make our own assumptions and everything, but they didn't really solidify, other than Big Show and John Cena, they didn't really solidify anything for us going forward.
The big questions I have after tonight were, number one, shouldn't Big Show be fired, like I had mentioned earlier?
Yeah.
Considering he was re-signed the day before Over the Limit, he interfered in the Laurinaitis-Cena match. You would think he's a talent under contract.
Maybe Laurinaitis meant to say Sunday, and he just slipped up and said Saturday.
Well, that's a huge mistake.
That is a huge mistake.
And the other thing is I thought Big Show's explanation for why he did what he did tonight was just ridiculous.
I loved it. It was your typical heel explanation. I don't need to explain my actions to you. None of you deserve to hear any kind of reason why I did what I did. It's classic heel. I love it. I liked
you
it.
You love it?
I do. I like it.
It just means that anything can happen, and then you just don't even need to provide a reason afterwards.
No, if you're a heel, of course not. No.
That's what I didn't like about Raw. I'm staying positive.
Stay positive, buddy.
All right, anything else you want to chat about with Monday Night Raw?
Not really. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, very average Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
On a scale of 10, I'd give it probably, I don't know, 4.
You're not even sure about the 4.
I'm not even sure about the 4.
Can you tell we're just not excited after watching this tonight?
It's the time of year, too. There's just nothing to be excited about this time of year.
Like, I want to be excited. They're not giving me it. I want to be excited, but they're not giving me it.
Like, I don't know. No Way Out. They better do something good with this pay-per-view.
Well, I mean, the matches so far on paper don't look that bad.
No.
You got Daniel Bryan, Punk, like you'd said. Hopefully you'll see Randy Orton and
Chris Jericho.
Yeah. And then you're going to see, you know, Cena taking on Big Show.
Does that mean we're going to see a Christian Jinder Mahal feud going forward?
I'd like to see a Jinder Mahal Jerry Lawler feud.
Yeah.
That's where they should go with that.
That's hilarious.
All right, let's get on out of here.
You bet.
You got to find this show if you do want to listen to it. Although, if you're not even watching Raw, I don't know why you'd want to listen to us. But you'd find it at www.smacktalkradiolive.com. Join in on facebook.com/smacktalkradio. And if you haven't done so yet, add us on Twitter at SRL Radio.
And don't forget to get your emails in on air at smacktalkradiolive.com. Let us know what you thought about Raw. Let us know what you think about our show. This is a show by the fans, for the fans. Let's get a dialogue going.
Join the conversation. We'll be back Thursday for another full edition of Smack Talk Radio Live. I'm Corey Callahan.
I am James McDonald.
And we'll see you on Thursday.
Talking to each other again. ABP, looks like I did take him to Mars this time. So why are we talking to each other again?